Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 37, verse 39. Matthew 24, 37 through verse 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach on this morning, when the door is shut. When the door is shut. The Lord spoke to my heart this last week, and in relation to Katrina, the storm that we have seen that has absolutely wreaked havoc in a lot of people's lives, and in a large part of our country has been affected as a result of that. Amen. When the door is shut, I put it together a little slide presentation this morning I want us to look at before we proceed on.
Life was filled with guns and war, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. The children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. And I wish we'd all been ready. And there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Oh yeah. The demons dying. How could you have been so blind? There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. No. And there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. I hope we'll all be ready.
You've been left behind.
I hope we'll all be
ready. You've been left behind.
I hope we'll all be
ready. You've been left
As Christians, we must understand that the life that we are in is a race. It's not a rat race, but it is a race. Amen. We must also understand that, as John Maxwell said, we don't compete against each other, but we complete one another. And what we compete against is those forces of evil that hinder us, both physically and also spiritually. As we look at the spiritual condition of our world, it's obvious to me, church, that there is a finish line that is before us. And as I look at pictures like this and I think of the events of this past week, It lets me know even more so that the coming of the Lord is at hand. The finish line is before us. The great baseball pitcher, Satchel Paige, once said, "Never look back because someone might be gaining on you." Could I tell you from Scripture perspective, the Bible says, "Any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God." When we consider this Christian race, our eyes must be fixed on Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The unfortunate thing is there are many, many people that do not have their trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Many are lost today because they have not found refuge in the safety of Jesus. The saddest part about it is many don't even see their end coming. I've come to preach to you today, there is an end coming. There is a day when the door to salvation will be shut. Amen. And the repercussion of that will be drastic. There is a day when that door will be closed and all outside that door will be left behind. Now, if you've studied your Bible, you know that thousands of years ago, there was a preacher by the name of Noah who preached righteousness to a sin-sick world. Amen. A generation of ungodly people who lived in riotousness and they lived in horrendous lifestyles. Yet one person, not one person in the whole world, beside the preacher and his family, were saved as a result of that preaching. Now, as a preacher, I can imagine Noah's frustration. I can imagine how he preached and people did not respond. And sometimes as a preacher, and us preachers know from preaching over the years, that it seems like sometimes words go in one ear and out the other. Amen. There just isn't a sinking in of it. And sometimes it's frustrating to preach over and over, warning people of impending judgment and encouraging them to be committed and dedicated and laying aside the works of the flesh. And it's disheartening sometimes to see that behavior continuing in some people. Amen. No doubt Noah was very sad, and for sure God was greatly displeased. But a real preacher will not stop preaching just because folks don't listen. Amen. That's the difference between one who's called and one who just gets up and goes. For 120 years, Noah preached, and at the command of God and his family, he built a large vessel, a boat, an ark, if you will. Amen. God directed him to it. And even through the mocking, even through the ridicule from his neighbors and the world that he lived in at that time, some scholars estimate about 1 million people on the face of the earth in the day of Noah. Amen. The preacher preached and people heard and knew that there was judgment coming, but they took no heed to it. In fact, because of the godly way that Noah lived, his family lived, because of the ark being built, I'm sure there was much criticism as was mockery towards this project. Amen. But we know from the Bible record that God flooded the entire earth. Amen. All were drowned except Noah and his family. Amen. Today, many people still refuse to obey God. Perhaps preachers of righteousness are laughed at and God is greatly displeased. But I want you to know punishment is coming again, and this time it won't be with water, it'll be with fire. The Bible says in 2 Peter, beginning in verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Amen. In other words, the Lord is not slow concerning His promises, as some people think He is. In fact, God's very patient. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing to see anybody lost. At the same day, amen, of the coming of the Lord, the Bible tells us He'll come as a thief in the night. Unexpected. Now understand, these people in Noah's day had been warned. They had been warned of the upcoming judgment, just like the people in New Orleans had been warned of the terrible storm Katrina coming their way. Now, I know there were some that couldn't leave for financial reasons. I know there were some people in New Orleans that couldn't leave because of physical reasons. Amen. I'm not foolish enough to say that everyone should have got out. But there were some that chose to stay that could have left. Can I tell you though that in the day of Noah, God gave everyone a chance to get on the boat. Amen. In the coming of the Lord and before the days of the coming of Jesus, God will give everyone on the face of this earth a chance to be saved. Whether it's through the preaching of the Word or whether creation itself will bear witness of the fact that there is a God in heaven, every creature will have an opportunity, amen, to know and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. We live in a land that's been inundated with the gospel. Amen. We have been flooded with the gospel in the United States of America. We live in a land of Bible Belt preaching. We live in a land that where we've had the gospel for many, many years and for many generations. And we are definitely without excuse. Amen. But the coming of the Lord is going to affect those just as the flood did in New Orleans. Some will be left behind. Amen. Some chose to stay behind. Those are the ones I want you to consider this morning. Because when Jesus comes back, amen, He'll give every one of us a choice. And that choice will either be to get in the ark or to be left behind. Amen. Jesus in this parable is painting for His disciples, and we read here in Matthew 24, a comparison of the condition of humanity in Noah's day and also the condition of mankind in our day. What Jesus is telling us is that the generation of Noah is no different from the generation that we're living in today. And some people know today, amen, all they know is eating and drinking. All they know is the pleasures of this world. They are caught up in a vicious life cycle. In other words, outside their physical wants and desires, there is no element of God whatsoever in their lives. Oh, occasionally they might call out to God in some tragedy. Occasionally they might call out to God as they did in 9-1-1 and in the wars on that we've gone through in this last decade. Amen. And in this New Orleans disaster, no doubt there were many that were calling upon God in their time of distress. But for the most part, they live life without God in their lives whatsoever. And He talks about marriage and giving in marriage. He's talking about the fact that some people are only concerned with the flesh and fleshly desires. To sum it up, they were eating and drinking when they should have been praying and fasting. And the saddest part about it was they had no idea what was expected. Oh yes, they'd been warned, but they didn't take the warning seriously. And so Jesus here is trying to warn His disciples, it's time to get right, and the time to do it is now. Because there is a time coming when God will separate the lost and the saved. There is a day coming when the righteous will be snatched from this earth. There is a day coming when the lost will be left behind. The record says two will be in the field working, one will be taken, the other left. I can imagine in some in New Orleans looked at the thousands leaving and they said, well, Katrina won't surely be that bad. We've come through storms before, we'll go through this again. But when the waters begin to rise, amen, when they started seeing the devastation and the destruction that came because of this great storm, amen, they begin to change their tune, and instead of mocking those that left prematurely, they wish they had been on the boat going out. Amen. Amen. Well, Noah says there's going to be a flood, but it can't be that bad. After all, Noah's preached and he's built this funny looking boat, and surely it can't be as bad as what we think. Amen. But I'll tell you what, when folks started seeing their neighbors' houses break loose from their foundations and sink, amen, when they saw their neighbors' cattle and livestock floating and trying to make it to dry land, amen, when they witnessed their own material things being washed away, amen, they started looking towards the ark. Amen. Can I tell you this morning? Amen. You need to look now to the ark and not later. Amen. It won't work if you wait. Amen. Today is the day of salvation, is what the Bible says. But I can hear Noah saying, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. God's got the key and the door is locked. You see, in the time before the flood, people built cities, but they forgot the God, amen, that made them. Oh yes, the descendants of Cain, they had cattle, they had riches, they had land, but they had no approval of God upon their lives. They were rich in goods, but they were barren and poor as far as spiritual things were concerned. Amen. Not only that, but the descendants of Cain had invented many kinds of instruments. Amen. They made musical instruments, and they were very good at what they did and were very talented in what they played. Amen. But they had not the glory of God resting in their lives. They were also good at They were artists in wood and stone and skillful with iron and brass. But in all these things, they followed the footsteps of their father Cain, who had committed the first murder in the Bible. And they became murderers themselves, ungodly tyrants in a sin, wicked, infested world. Amen. The children of Cain followed in the footsteps of their father. You may say, well, Pastor, that was in the Bible days. Amen. That was in a day when wickedness was in everyone's homes. That was in a day when there wasn't any good moral people whatsoever. After all, we live in a land of the free, and we live in a land where we can rest assured that safety is with us and for us. I want to tell you, church, I didn't come to preach gloom to you this morning, but I didn't come to preach and tickle your ears either. I've come to warn you, things are not getting better, they're getting worse. You don't have to go very far, even over to the Noggle Street, to find a murder taking place, or the street blocked off because somebody else has been shot just 5 miles from here. You don't have to go very far to find out, amen, things have been broken into, stolen, and things of this nature. Hey, we're living in an ungodly time, and things are not getting better, church. They're getting worse. Amen. We better tighten up the boot latches, if you will. Amen. We better take a second look at what's going on around us, because the day of the Lord is at hand. Amen. Jesus is coming back for a church. Amen. He didn't put us here just to leave us here isolated and desolated. He put us here as the salt of the earth. He put us here as a witness for Jesus Christ. He put us here as a symbol and an instrument to see mankind saved. And while we're here, let us all be preachers of righteousness and preach this everlasting gospel. Amen. To everybody we come into contact with, because the day is coming when the door of the ark will be closed. It'll be shut by the finger of God. He and only He has the key. And ain't a one of us have the power or any necessities or anything that we could conjure up to try to get into the ark, because the door's already been closed. In the days before the flood, man made his own religion to suit himself. In the days before the flood, people strayed away from God. They prospered, they made good wages. They had a high standard of living, but they were too busy to hear the message that Noah preached of righteousness. Amen. They thought a message of judgment was old and out of date. Amen. If you came this morning expecting to hear, amen, a message about heaven, that may be tonight or next Sunday. Amen. But I'm preaching to you today that sin is still sin, and God will judge sin, because God is a righteous God. And because He cannot tolerate sin, and sin will not enter into His holy city, amen, God has a remedy for those that disobey His word and will not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm telling you, the judgment of God is imminent. It will come. Amen. They thought it was old and out of date. They were drunk in the cares of this world. Isn't it strange that people leave God when things are going well? Amen. When they prosper, they forget about God. In our day, people are prospering as never before. Amen. Men and women spend their lifetime eating and drinking. Amen. They're drunken on the cares of this world. All the time, men are building finer restaurants, finer buildings, finer churches. I mean, the list goes on. Amen. It seems that that's all they're living for. Amen. But could I tell you, instead of spending more of the leisure time that we seem to have, amen, on the things of God, amen, they're spent more time on the things of this world. I mean, we're living in a prosperous time. Amen. A time when this world is drunken. The places of amusement are full day and night. People are drunken with the pleasures of this world. Time to travel here and travel there. Amen. They'd rather hear a man-made sermon on a Sunday morning that tickles their ears instead of a sermon about the judgment of God that's coming upon us. Amen. They go to ball games and wrestling matches and carnivals and circuses and concerts and roadhouses and nightclubs, but they can't come to the house of God. Amen. The warning has been heeded. Amen. Heeded not. Amen. The warning has gone out, but it's fallen on deaf ears because they have been so saturated. Amen. So drunk with the pleasures of this world. Don't you know, church, it isn't getting better. Amen. We better have our feet planted on a solid foundation. Even more so, we better have ourselves secured in the ark of safety. Amen, amen, amen. People in Noah's day may have been living a high life, but violence increased on the face of the earth. The whole earth. The Bible says the whole earth was filled with violence. Amen. People grew weaker. They grew wiser, but they grew weaker at the same time. They were full of hatred, envy, lust, and pride. Amen. They forgot about God. They robbed and they killed until God had to do something about it. Amen. And He decided that He'd send a flood and wipe off the whole earth. So God had to destroy the world, but for one righteous man. One righteous man. God saved him and his entire family and put him in a ship. Amen. Noah believed God. Amen. God saved his family. And he's not the only one the Bible record talks about. Abraham believed God and God gave his seed the land of promise. Rahab believed God and God saved her household. The Canaanite woman believed God, believed Christ for healing, and Christ healed her daughter. The four men, they believed Christ for healing for their paralyzed friend, and he got it. Amen. I tell you what, church, the Word of God is true. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Amen. Yes, Noah and his family were saved by an ark. Hallelujah. Amen. A ship that God commanded them to build. I want you to know the ark was a picture of Christ. There were three arks mentioned throughout the Bible. Amen. There was Noah's ark. Noah's ark served those who were on it, and it served those with security. Amen. From the vengeance and the wrath of a righteous God. And then there was the ark of bulrushes that protected God's chosen one, Moses. Amen. It protected him from the murderous designs of a wicked ruler by the name of Pharaoh. And this ark is Christ, into whom we have been placed by a loving Father. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant is the third ark mentioned in the Word of God, sheltering the two tables of God's holy law, being covered with precious blood. It was the place of atonement. It was a place of mercy. It was a place of acceptance of God. Amen. From sinners. The ark is Christ, our mercy seat. And when you put all these three together, you'll see that there's always been a place of refuge. Amen. For the sinner who will find himself at the feet of a merciful God. When you put them all together, you'll find from Genesis clear through to Revelation, there's always been an ark that people have had an opportunity to climb into and be saved. There's safety in the ark. There's happiness in the ark. There's salvation in the ark. There's peace in the ark. There's joy in the ark. There's love in the ark. There is deliverance in the ark. I can hear the Lord saying, come on. Amen. Come on aboard. It's time to get in the ark, because there's a day coming when the door will be shut. Ain't no wonder the old saints of old sang, 'tis the old ship of Zion. 'Tis the old ship of Zion. It has landed many a thousand. Oh, church, the door is open for all who will enter in and be saved. Only the righteous will enter in the ark. Only those that have been blood bought will be found in the ark. There'll be no deceitful people there. There'll be no whoremongers there. There'll be none that have guile in their mouths. Amen. And it'll be a place of cleanliness, a place of righteousness, a place of safety found in the ark of God. Amen, amen, amen. The whole world was drowned under the flood of God's wrath, except those eight happy souls in the ark. Amen. Even so, the whole world shall be destroyed in the everlasting wrath of Almighty God, except those happy, blessed men and women who have experienced salvation in the ark of God. Christ alone is the Savior of men. There's none under the name above, under heaven, among men, whereby we must be saved. Amen. Except the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, there's no back door to the ark. Amen. You can't cheat to get in. You can't buy your way in. You can't get in because of your social status, standing, or who you are, or who you think you are. You will not get in because of your talents or abilities, but you'll only get in because your sins are washed in the blood-stained crimson flow that came from Calvary's hill, from the bleeding side of our Savior, amen, that washes our sins away and gives us purity of life to live in Him. I'm telling you, those people in New Orleans, amen, some of them could have left, some of them chose to stay, and sadly enough, I heard one preacher, Brother Clendenin, has say that God dealt with him years ago, amen, about his church that he had at the time. He said he was running about 400 people, and 40 people came to a prayer meeting, and the Lord dealt with him back many, many years ago and said, preacher, this is what will be saved in the coming of the day of the Lord. He said, God, are you telling me that out of a church of 400 that only 40 will be saved? And God said, yes, sir.
That's what I'm telling you. I don't know about you this morning, but you can sit even in the sound of a preacher's voice, even in a church house on a Sunday morning in the first Sunday of September of the year 2005, and sense your need for God because you're outside of the ark of safety. And some that have been in the ark have looked out, Brother Lance, and they looked at the pleasures. And some have looked at the things on the outside and said, well, I forgot to do this. And I forgot to have fun doing this. And I believe I'll just go back for a spell. I'm telling you, it's always harder to get in the second time than it is the first. I've talked to backsliders, and backsliders have told me personally, it's so much harder to get saved. Seems like they can't pray through and get a hold of God second and third and fourth time around. I tell you what, I wouldn't even be looking out the window of the ark towards the pleasures of the world. I'd have my place securely set inside. Amen. Trying to do a work for God. Amen. Because when the rains do come, as they did in New Orleans, they said, oh, it's just a small storm. It'll pass over. The meteorologists, amen, the hurricane people, the tornadoes, weather. They don't know what they're talking about. Amen. We know better than they do. That's how some people are in the world. Preacher, you don't know what you're preaching about. You're just preaching on a binge. You're just preaching on a hobby horse. I'm telling you, my heart's been stirred this week when I saw the photographs of the devastation. I said, my God, they think it's bad down there. The whole world is going to be destroyed by fire.
And those that are left behind, I don't care what Tim LaHaye says, and I don't care what other, some of these other guys say, that there's a chance of being saved after the rapture. I believe by the Word of God and the authority of it, that for the Gentile, amen, once the door is shut, you do not have another opportunity to be saved. You differ with me if you want. Doesn't affect my salvation. I'm going out on the first boat.
I'm going out on the first ship of Zion. Amen. I had my ticket purchased through Jesus Christ Travel Agency by the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Many years ago, and it's still valid today. And when that trump sounds, brother and sister, I'm heading out of this place. Yes, there is destruction coming, but there's hope for the weary traveler. There's hope for the Christian. There is hope for you and I, because we're getting out of this mess. Hallelujah! I don't care to leave it behind. I ain't gonna miss it, because there's a whole better home far ahead. Amen. I'm not going to miss nothing here. Amen. I'm not going to miss my instruments. I'm not going to miss where I live. I ain't going to miss what I drive. I ain't going to miss playing the ivories. I ain't going to miss teasing Brother Jeff about his ugly tie. I ain't going to miss that, because there's a better place I come in. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not going to have to stay here and go through the fire. Amen. We've gone through the fire already of purification, because God has set a people apart for His eternal existence. Hallelujah. I'm going to go with Him. Woo! Amen.
He said, oh, he's going to preach gloom this morning. Amen. I'm feeling pretty good right now just thinking about hearing the trumpet sound. Amen. I'm feeling pretty good right now about hearing that trumpet. Amen. Oh, yes, when the angel puts it to his lips and God says to the son, son, it's time. Bring them on home. Amen. The trump will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. That's what I'm looking for. Stand to your feet, throw your hands up and worship God. Hallelujah. 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 Holy, 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 holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hallelujah. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. We're excited about your coming, Lord. We want to come up higher. We want to come up to where you are. Let this earth burn. We want to go home to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Be encouraged this morning, church.
There is a better day a coming. It's not here. It's not on this earth. But we're going up higher. We're going up higher. We're going up higher. We're leaving out of here. The King is coming. Ah, yes, He is. Ah, I can hear the trumpet sounding. And now His face I see. The King is coming in His power and His glory. He's coming to take the church home. Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't know if you saw it, but in one of those pictures from an aerial view, there was a picture of a man on a house with the words help. I don't know what he used to spray paint it or tape it out or whatever. Roll it on with a roller. Huge words. Help. The H looked bigger than he was. I don't know if you saw him, but he was standing on that housetop. That water was already up to the shingles. And he was standing there with no way of escape. And he had the words on there, help. Even though, and this is what God put in my soul this week. Even though he chose to stay behind, God in his mercy gave him one last chance. And that man was rescued by helicopter. Because he wrote the words out, help. Could it be there's somebody here this morning that's playing church, that's not right with God? Is there anybody here this morning that you know there's something in your soul that just ain't right? And you just take your spiritual hand, if you will, and write out the words, help. There's an all-seeing eye that's greater than any hovering helicopter. That helicopter might have missed that, but there's an all-seeing eye that'll never miss a cry for plea, a plea cry. There's an all-seeing eye that'll never miss somebody calling out for help. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I don't know if God can save me. Oh, yes, He can. You know those, and I know that some have been turned over to a reprobate mind. I'm not getting into that. But the very fact that you even think about whether God will save you or not shows me you haven't crossed the line. If you're here this morning and you need help, I want you to be the first to respond, because I feel like we need to pray for you first. Amen. We're going to rejoice here in a minute about going to heaven and the thoughts of it and the blessings of it. But first off, we want everybody in this house to be in the ark. We want everybody in this building to be included in the ark of safety. Nobody needs to be left out. You have a choice to make. Preacher, I believe I'll just wait and see what happens. You're making the biggest foolish mistake of your life. You may not have a tomorrow. Hear me. You may not have a tonight. God may choose to take you out of here this afternoon. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you of the coming of the Lord. And even if you do survive physically, even if nothing ever happens to you, there's still a day of judgment coming. This ain't nothing to play around with. This is something to check our hearts with and say, am I right with God? Is there anything in my heart that I have that should not be there? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done my best, Lord. I pray, God, right now by Your Holy Ghost, that You would do the rest. In Jesus' name, convict lives, save souls, convict those that maybe have things in their hearts hidden. Convict, I pray in Jesus' name, come clean, let them come clean with God. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Obey God right now. Just obey the Lord. Hallelujah.
They have not been covered up, for yea, my eye has seen them. them. I say unto thee, repent, for I know thy heart, and I see thy wickedness. Oh, I say unto thee, thou shalt not hide in the day of judgment, either I will expose thee now or then. So I say unto thee, come clean, and be ready to meet your Maker, saith God. For yea, I will receive you, if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, and yea, thou shalt repent of thy wickedness, saith God.
Oh, holy Katama
Shikaya. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I don't think another word has to be spoken for somebody to just move out of their seat and say, Pastor, if I come now, they'll think I'm a wicked sinner. I'm telling you what, I'd rather come clean now. I'd rather do it now. I'd rather do it now than wait. Longer you wait, the harder it is to do. Somebody needs to come right now. You need to step out. I don't care if you're a saint or sinner. If God's dealing with your life and there's things in your life that aren't right, you need to step out right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God, help us. Help us, help us, help us. In the name of the Lord, come on. Come on. Let's pray.